The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
I'm Nick Harcourt and Cafe Tacuba in the house at the SoCal Sound. So happy to see you guys.
Same.
It's been a long time since I've seen you in person, although I did see you performing at the Hollywood Bowl last year, I think, with the, the LA Philharmonic Orchestra.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Ruben Kike, Joselo, and Memi. So you're on a tour with Caifanes. I'd like to know how this double bill came about.
This was not a surprise, but we thought about making something with another band. Usually in the States, we have festivals in cities, but not touring with other bands. We used to have those tours on the 2000s, the Watcha Tour, but never with just one band. So we got together, we tried to make a good bill. People love Caifanes. Caifanes, it's a seminal band that opened the way to many, many, many bands in the media, in the radio. They were the first band in the late 80s to open the radio. And they were an inspiration for us and for a lot of generations. Our generation was very aware of what they were doing. We were doing music very different from them. They split. They had different projects, Jaguares and another bands. But they got together like 10 years ago. So they are... we thought this a good combination, us making our career has been through a lot of experimentations and developing different sounds and ways. We haven't never split, but it was sounds like a good combination of two different ways of the history of rock in Mexico.
I think when I saw Caifanes and Café Tacuba, I was thinking, you know, this must have been a band that influenced you when you were younger, when you were growing up. Can you tell us a little bit how important it was to hear Caifanes on the radio?
Well, not just for us, but the first time we saw playing Caifanes, it was in a very small club, an underground club called
Tutti Frutti. Great name.
And it was great because there was these guys, tall guys with huge haircuts and playing cumbia. So it was like a kind of revelation for us and almost for all our generation. And Kike says, they opened the radio for the Mexican bands. But because there was sounding Spanish and Argentinian bands, but there was no Mexican bands before Caifanes. And other a small group of bands, there was like a prohibition in Mexico for rock, for rock music. Rock music in the 70s, it was very underground. So when Caifanes appeared, it was like the coming back of Mexican rock, and with this cumbia, La Negra Tomasa. So it was very exciting, a very exciting moment for all the musicians. And so we are in a different search. But anyways, we recognize that they were doing something that we want to do. So to take out to take our cultural heritage and use them for do rock music and contemporary music.
And cumbia at the time was not really accepted in Mexico. Is that right? They were sort of one of the first people to introduce cumbia into Mexican music.
Well, not exactly. The styles were always separate, no. But Caifanes made this song in cumbia, but it was rock. It feels like rock. So
the attitude, right?
The attitude, the everything. It sounds like rock, and the audience from rock recognize that vibe.
Yeah.
And the cumbia audience recognize the cumbia, and that was a huge
phenomenon.
Yeah. How do you say antes de las antes de
Caifanes?
Before Caifanes, for the rockers, it was like a shame to hear cumbia.
Right, exactly.
So our generation stands to say, no, it's okay to hear cumbia and it's okay to hear traditional music. And this is rock, really rock. Rock is not a form, it is a concept and an attitude. So that's what Caifanes show us at that time when they were playing La Negra Tomasa.
Yeah, and they were the most successful with this, but there were a lot of bands trying to do this kind of mixes, like Maldita Vecindad, Botellita de Jerez,
Ritmo
Peligroso, with different kinds of, not just cumbia, but with merengue, with the
right.
different Latin
rhythms, exactly.
But that's something that you guys are also very well known for, in taking all these different influences and putting them into your music. And I know it changes because the history of the band is what, 35
years
now? And over the years, you know, we hope that we evolve, right? We evolve as people, as musicians, and as artists. But you've always had a lot of different, it's like a big melting pot of music in Café Tacuba's music. But you haven't actually recorded for a while, right? There's a new single now, La Bass, which is fantastic. We're playing it.
Thank you.
And I think the first new music in 7 years. Yeah?
7 years, exactly. Yeah.
So why the wait?
It was because every album that we made, it has a lifespan. It goes out the music, then we go on tour.
Yeah.
And then we take a break to
have lives.
To have lives, exactly. And then we
be humans.
Yeah. To be humans.
Have children and families.
And family, yeah. And then we do another record.
Right.
But the pandemic comes to the world and changes everything. But we could do a second unplugged, an MTV unplugged in 2019, right?
Right before the pandemic?
Right before the pandemic.
Yeah. Right.
So the idea, it was to play this unplugged in 2020, 2021, and then make some new music after that. But it changed. The world changed.
Of course.
So. Or not so much. changes, but
the world had to wait.
Yeah.
I know you work with Gustavo again, your producer, and I think you told me there's some other songs that maybe we might see. Are you going to release them separately or as EPs? Because the world has changed in how people consume mm-hmm. music now, right? It's hard to perhaps release an album when people are like, just give me one song. It's just a different way people listen with the phone and Spotify. Do you still think that an album, a collection of songs on an album, is something that Café Tacuba will do?
By now, we are open to see what happens. We have like six or seven songs. Mm. They are almost ready. So we are going to be releasing them periodically. And then we'll see. We don't know if maybe with the time we saw like un hilo conductor, como podrías decir, like a...
Like a
concept or
concept that can bring these songs together as an album.
Right.
They could become an album.
Right.
Or a compilation, not only a compilation of songs, but an album.
I know some people will release the song and then another song maybe next month and then another song and then maybe at the end of the year they put them together on an album with maybe one or two other songs, something like that.
We don't know. We don't know.
You don't know.
Maybe it's just
nobody knows.
Maybe it's going to be just a compilation of songs.
Right.
Just we have the idea to do a record, like this is a new record.
Mm.
But these songs are not from that record. It's another project.
Understood.
Yeah.
Mexico is a very interesting place. I went to Mexico City just 2 days ago for the very first time, and I had a great time. I loved it. It was beautiful, wonderful people. I get the sense that Mexico City is becoming more of an international city. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very true.
Yeah. You have to speak.
Yes. Is that enough?
No.
No. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Mexico is in fashion, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, in the neighborhood where we live, or we used to live, wherever, you can see how many people are, you know, coming to, not for tourism, just for living. They work there, and it's a big community from people all around the world, mainly from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting why now it's, and it's, it happened with the pandemia. It's a phenomenon that happens when
they
they were working in home office and they came to Mexico, which were more loose in terms of
cheaper
and nice weather, nice food.
So it's fantastic.
Cheaper and stuff. So there is a lot of people that is now around and bringing something. At the end, it is gonna bring something, I believe. And it's and there is a lot of, you know, of cultural things happen all the time about art or music and food and everything. So it's interesting now. Yeah.
So these are the digital nomads.
Yes.
Right. Yes. I don't want to say that way, but yes. Yeah.
But I wonder how that changes, or is it too soon to tell how that will change?
I guess it's too soon.
Right.
I haven't, for example, the art scene, the galleries and art festivals, they become very aware of what happens in art. But I don't see in music that there are cross-pollinization on the people who comes to make their music and to get involved with Mexican musicians. I don't see that. I see that there are a lot of festivals where Anglo artists and
Interpol plays in El Zócalo,
of course,
right? Interpol, yeah. Very big Interpol, in Mexico.
Yeah, they go to Mexico a lot of times. So,
but I haven't seen the way that is an influence because there are new restaurants and new clubs. There are no clubs for playing
music.
Upcoming bands,
right?
Playing.
Isn't that always the case though in big cities? It's always hard for the young bands, the new bands, to find places to play. It's still the same.
And as you said before, the way the people now or we are consuming music has changed the way the artists are related between them. Now are more solo artists than the bands.
Mm.
So. It's hard to find a new band, a younger band, and I can tell it's not only a Mexican thing. It's more a solo artist that are like in most of the cases, at least Latin music.
So when I first met you guys, it was 1999. And I was working at another radio station. We don't say their name. but my producer, Ariana, who you probably remember, Ariana Morgenstern, mm-hmm. She introduced me to your music, and she introduced me to a lot of Latin music. She's from Argentina, mm-hmm. their parents.
Yes.
I remember hearing it for the first time. I'm from Birmingham in England. You know, I grew up listening to Black Sabbath, but you know. But I remember hearing it for the first time and just really being moved, even though I didn't understand necessarily the lyrics, but being moved by the music and the beat, of course. And at that time, you know, 1999, 2000, there seemed to be a big outpouring of creativity from Mexico with bands like yourself, filmmakers, Iñárritu and Cuarón. And how has that changed in the last 20 years? Is there a new generation of artists and filmmakers coming up that we should know about or we will hear about?
I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure.
No, because there are a lot of... in the last years, it's becoming difficult to get the support from that you need to put a film together. You always depended on the government's support, and it became difficult. Mm. I don't see if that's a way to if there's a different way to put a movie. There's some examples, but I don't see a wave of people doing this. Maybe it's becoming, I guess it's there, and we only have to wait what happens when they show. But
but for a filmmaker, Cuarón and Iñárritu and
Del Toro,
they made their career here in the States.
Yeah, it's interesting because they made their first films in Mexico, but now their careers are in London and Los Angeles. You know, when you first came in here today, I introduced you to Byron Gonzalez, who is a guy who I have sort of mentored a little bit here. And he has a show on every night now called Bilingual Sounds, where he mixes a lot of different music together. And he also programs the HD3 channel. It's a Latin alternative channel. You can hear it on the web. And so I asked him, I was like, so you have to give me a question that I can ask. He was very jealous that I was talking to you guys. I asked him, so give me a question that I can ask the guys for you and promote his show, of course, as well. And so he asked me, there aren't that many bands out there today who have been together as long as you have, which is so true. And with the original lineup, of course. So what do you think has been the glue that has kept your band together?
We always think that it is the music that joins us and still is. Like, for example, to do these new songs bring us some good energy. Always like creativity and art music helps to like medicine to heal anything. I think the pandemic, it was a strong hit for us individually and as a band. Everything changes. Like, it seems it felt at some point for me that rock music, it was like going down, because it came trap music and reggaeton,
right.
And all the young people was listening to reggaeton, but now it seems like the rock music comes with a new energy. And I saw the musician from other bands of our generation, and a lot of them are playing another time. Mm. They came together came with their together. Bands.
Yeah.
And there are festivals with all these 30 years, 35 years bands. Maybe not with the original members, but they are playing. So it is a beautiful time for us. I don't know if it is for the new bands. I think it's difficult. I think they find it scary to play live. And of course, there are a lot of new bands like Los Cogelones and ¿cómo se llama? Son de Madera, ese grupo de Marimba, ¿lo conocen?
Mm-hmm. Son de Madera.
Son de Madera. And there's a new generation of bands that they are playing, but our generation, we are very fortunate because we can play like big gigs and festivals.
It's interesting as well, I think, that with the pandemic and everybody was stuck at home, I've seen a lot of bands that hadn't made music for a long time. You just referred to a couple of bands that they go out now and play festivals. Perhaps they didn't play for 10 years, but everyone was at home for a couple of years. And they're like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, they start calling everybody up. Do you want to do a record? Do you want to make some music? Everybody's trading files. And now we have all this new music coming out from bands who perhaps wouldn't have made new music if not for the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our case, we were working in... keeping us alive. we didn't share any songs or there wasn't an idea of, hey, let's work from your house and send me that. We thought we should get together and we should, and there was a need for our fans to go out and play and let's take the outside again. And that was what we did in 2022 and 23.
And now again.
And now again.
Yeah.
And now we were waiting, trying to make at a different pace. And this tour, the Caifanes Café Tacuba tour, was an excellent. An excellent way to put out a new song, not to play the whole, not only the our historic,
but to have some new music.
But to have
as well.
Some new music and, right. and to say we are still alive as a band.
And it feels the energy. We play in Napa Valley.
The first time that song.
When was that?
Last night, right?
Yes. Last night, and it was very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Very excited. Too much energy. I don't know if the energy it was us or the people, but I saw
but
it was very, very excited.
Also, it was a month ago.
Well, listen, thank you. Muchas gracias for coming, and it's good to see you. And to play music for us as well. And thank you. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank
so
you.
Good
you're
to see you.
Invited.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you,
man. Yeah. Café Tacuba.
Es una cuestión de tiempo, tal vez. empezado a añorar ausentes. Todo se soporta aunque esté nublado. Sigamos de frente a paso paulatino. Aún no me cansé. Unas voy a pie,
unas voy a pie,
otras
we'll be right back.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.